Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Yes, I'm Luke Frazier, the founder and music director of the American Pops Orchestra.
And we wanted to check in because you have a bunch of cool things coming up virtually and the like. So before we get to the individual events, though, remind our listeners, and maybe there's some folks that aren't even familiar with American Pops Orchestra, you know, what's the deal? How long have you guys been around?
So we are in our sixth season, and I started the group because I was concerned that a lot of classic American music, you know, think about George Gershwin to Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, you know, so many great musicians, music makers, singers, composers are largely being forgotten by younger people. And I consider myself in that swath of younger people, although I have a very old soul. So that's why I wanted to do this. I wanted to save that music. But here's the other thing. I had two other important missions. One, to really bring this music and use it to bring people together. I think this music, because we created it as a country and so many influences, cultures brought this music together, and we appreciate it from so many different viewpoints. So I wanted to use it as a bridge. And also I wanted to make sure that I could shake up the orchestra world and bring new people to orchestras. There are too many people that I go to dinner with when we can go to dinner, that I'll sit outside with, that I'll chat with, that I've gone to college with, that can't even tell me the last time they went to an orchestra concert, and whether it be classical or popular. So for me, it's these three things. It's preserving that great American music. It's bringing people together with it. And it's also saying the orchestra deserves to live. And if we can do our small part in bringing more people to orchestras, then I feel like I've done my job.
I love it. And then, you know, give us a sense of how COVID and this whole year has affected your typical thing. So you said you've been around, 6 years? So typically, yes. Typically where would you normally perform versus, you know, then you had to pivot to digital?
Well, here's the best part. We expanded during COVID. To my mind, I'm the only group we know that actually did more concerts, that brought more viewers in, and at a very, very significant margin. You know, right at the beginning, we normally will make our home at Arena Stage, which we love. And I'm a big fan of Arena Stage, all the work they do in-house, and they've been so good to us. But right in March of last year, I told our team, we're not going to sit around and have a group think and, you know, dream up how we're going to pivot. We're just going to go. And so we kept doing it. And now we've done literally hundreds of performances since last March and millions of viewers. We shot our first TV shows. But by the way, we didn't even know they were going to be TV shows. We were going to stream them on our own last August. I mean, think back from March to August. And by the way, we have also, in all these hundreds of performances, not had a single case of COVID or even a risk of COVID. Because
How do you think you achieved that? Like, do you guys just keep the musicians, you know, distance while you perform? Or how do you think? I mean, that's a pretty big title you can claim.
Yeah, and we do it proudly because, you know, I think all too common the narrative is, you know, no music could be made. It all has to be done virtual. There's just no possibility. But again, what I did from the very beginning was I went to the experts. I read all the data. We got someone on our team officially COVID specialist certified. And by the way, very, very early on. So circling back to August, in fact, we'll talk about it later. The show that's going to be airing this week was shot in August, and it was outdoors. And believe it or not, per the CDC and the DC protocol, we had a live audience there in August. So, you know, we didn't go against any regulation. In fact, we followed it to a T, but we never stopped. And that's been the secret to how we've gone on. And so PBS found out about these shows we were filming. We actually shot two TV shows in a week in August. And they said, we want to air them. And the reason they wanted to air them is the music they loved. And they recognized that so many people across the country would identify with this music. And they also were doing it because they were being told all the time that it can't be done. And so it was an opportunity to say, hey, we can create new programming. In this, it just takes a lot of hard work beyond the music. And so we're very proud of that. And by the way, we're much smaller than many of these organizations. So it was a real feat, to say the least.
Yeah. Props to that, man. That's it's impressive that you've been able to do it, especially, would you say, live an audience even there, even in August. Like that's a big feat right there. And no cases of COVID all the same None. Time. That's incredible. All right, well, let's go into some of the actual events. I'll try to take them chronologically here so listeners can follow along and mark their calendars. So I believe at least what's most recent coming up is from May 10th through the 14th, you have the Get to Know the Orchestra game show. How do we watch this? What is this?
Yes, well, this is actually for school kids, grades 3 through 5. And APO actually has a lot of children's programming. And something that makes it very unique is that it's always free. No school, no school board, no parents organization ever pays us. We donate it all to the schools, which means, of course, fundraising and support. And folks listening, if this sounds like something they'd be interested in, check us out. But we've actually done 3 of these virtual tours across the country. And, you know, we've had 44 of the 50 states participate, thousands and thousands of kids. And my philosophy is this, much like our programs, is that I want to break it down and say, what do kids like to do right now? What are kids' attention spans? How can we make this fresh? And so what we did is we surveyed the schools we participated in across 44 states. And Jason, would you believe that 75%, yes, 75% of the schools we visited have never had an orchestra come to their school or been to an orchestral performance? And so, again, that tells me we're going to the places we should be going. But the story is we make it so much fun. So we're online and I'm teaching all the kids. I'm doing live demonstrations with my musicians in real time with the kids across the country. They get to live interact, asking questions, raising their hands. I recognize every single school that participates. And the second half of each of these 1 hour, interactions with the schools is a real time game show. And we are mailing out prizes across the country to the schools that score high on these game shows. So again, it's very different. I don't know of another orchestra taking any approach like this. We also create miniature musicals based on popular stories like Henny Penny and The Old Lady Who Swallowed a Fly. And the music we use for them is Gershwin, Cole Porter, Nat King Cole, Earth, Wind, and Fire, everything in between. And again, my answer is this. Kids are smarter than a lot of groups, I think, give them credit for. And also, they want to have a great time. And guess what? They can have a lot of fun doing it. So we're doing that for a week, again, totally free, again, across the country. And it's something, as you probably can tell, I care a lot about.
I love it. All right, what do you want to talk about next? You want to go to the We Are Family PBS on Friday the 14th?
Yes. So on Friday, May 14th, we are going to be airing a show that we shot right in the heart of COVID called We Are Family. And it was the first COVID big concert I had conceived. And again, I thought, you know what? This is a time in our nation's history when we have got to do everything we can to love each other more, to listen to each other more deeply, and to build bridges. And so for me, all of the songs in this show are designed to do that. And we are going to be airing that. It's a fabulous cast. Rachel Lamar from The Voice, TV's Gabrielle Ruiz, Morgan James, Postmodern Jukebox, DC's very own Nova Payton, superstar. We've got Brittany Foster, our principal flute, doing an amazing brand new flute solo with the orchestra on that program. It is just a hell of a show. So much fun. So we've got all that, lots of great music, songs that everybody will recognize, sung by incredible performers.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds like an even bigger lineup than I even knew. As you're listening to them off, I'm saying, wow, that's tune-in factor right there. On PBS, everybody, May 14th, 10 p.m. That's really cool that you were able to, to get that PBS sort of connection there, because that's going to bring it to even a wider audience. That's great. Okay, cool. And then I know you mentioned there's some other PBS ones later in the month, like towards the end of May. That you, what are some of the other PBS shows coming up?
Yes, and in fact, we have two more in May. But I'm delighted to say that it's looking like APO is going to be doing something like maybe 12 more PBS shows this year. So
great.
Follow us on social media. You know, sign up for our email list, and you'll get to see. And again, centered around all these different types of great American music. So on May 28th. We are premiering our first two episodes in a series called One Voice. And the four episodes are going to be exploring American musical genres like Broadway, like sacred music. And in fact, those are our first two we're going to be airing. And what we're doing in a half hour is showing songs that were made famous, you know, either in church or on the Broadway stage, but they crossed over to become pop anthems or pop hits. And so we are going to be having the host of the show alongside me for our first episode on the 28th is Tony and Grammy winner Jessie Mueller. Folks may know her from the musical Waitress or Beautiful. And it's to wait until you hear. We have a special piece that's never, ever been heard by the public, which is a mashup of two of her iconic roles on Broadway. So I can't wait to share that. We also have Ambry Mon from Hamilton in that show. We have Luke Hawkins, the principal tapper for Harry Connick Jr. We have Sam Seamock from the national tour of My Fair Lady. We have we also have in that show, of course, tons and tons of new arrangements of music. We have got Alexis Michelle from RuPaul's Drag Race in that show. And we open the show with a version of Before the Parade Passes By that no one's really heard before. And then our second episode that night is about sacred music. Think Elvis Presley, Mahalia Jackson, Sam Cooke, and how that music crossed over. That's hosted by Michelle Williams. Yes, Michelle Williams of Destiny's Child alongside me. Adam Hindman from Hadestown on Broadway. We've got Maureen McKay from the Metropolitan Opera. We've got a 16-year-old prodigy organist. We've got American Idol's Justin Guarini, all in this program, jam-packed into this action-packed half hour. And again, the whole narrative is talking about how this music has transcended a genre, and we have it performed by these performers that have built incredible careers, most of them at a very young age, which we love highlighting. So all this to say, and then I can't tell you what, but we've got a lot more shows coming down the pike with Broadway shows and pop singers and gospel singers and jazz singers. We're honored that PBS has placed so much trust in us. And some listeners out there may have watched our New Year's Eve special on PBS called United in Song. And that was a really great show. And I've had people actually, when they meet me, say, wait a minute, did you do that New Year's Eve show? And it was the featured show on PBS for New Year's. So I can't give anything away too soon, but go ahead and set your calendars.
There's a teaser. All right, cool. Well, we'll definitely preview all of it, you know, now in like this big, you know, sort of overview looking ahead piece. But then, you know, I'll definitely earmark it to follow back. We could probably circle back around and do some other breakout pieces on those. I mean, some of those names you listed, you know, Jessie Mueller and the like, is going to, those are some bigger names. So maybe we could even do some, you know, individual.
Well, things and by the way, that the next two episodes, it's country, and I can't tell you yet who we're going after to host that one. And then we're doing one on American Roots. And then there's a very famous musical on Broadway that's made billions of dollars that we're recording a brand new complete reimagination of that with Emmy and Oscar winners. And I have a feeling I will, of course, share all the information. We're filming that in June and the cast is just crazy, crazy. And, you know, for New Year's Eve, we had Josh Groban and Patti LaBelle and Joshua Bell and Juanes and Brian Stokes Mitchell, Audra McDonald. That was the vibe and the caliber of the New Year's Eve show. So we're very lucky. You know, one of the greatest gifts of PBS is also all these artists seeing it and seeing their friends on TV and calling and saying, hey, can I do that next time? So and of course, we like to say yes.
Absolutely. Well, now you got me curious what this Broadway thing and even the, I'm a huge country fan, too. I'm very curious.
To see I am. You know, being from West Virginia, I am too, but you just wait and see. And by the way, we're shaking up country, like going a route. Some of the stars in that would be unexpected, but extremely popular, well-known. So cool. we're excited. And the Broadway show, I think you're going to be very excited about. You'll be green with envy if you can read between the lines.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. There gives us a hint. Okay. Well, we'll circle back, I guess, when you have some more info to share on that. But right now, I'll tease. You know, in this piece, I'll keep it to these. You know, the stuff we know about so far.
Of course.
Is there anything, did you want to say any more on the Name the Tune stuff, or do you think is that pretty covered?
I think it's fine. We're taking a pause in it in June anyway, because we've got so much filming in June, July, August.
Okay. So I think what we got so far is probably good.
Totally.
Okay, cool. Well, before we run, you mentioned your West Virginia roots. So tell me more about, you know, what made Luke, you know, how did you get into music growing up in Almost Heaven, West Virginia, and, you know, come to the point where you, you know, said, I'm going to form this thing?
Yeah, well, part of the reason I'm so passionate about education is because I got the drive to go into music because of my small public school. And, you know, my elementary school music teacher, it always excited me to go to music class. I had a great elementary school band teacher. By the way, I still stay in touch with both of those ladies. And also, the orchestra sent a string quartet to my school. And here's the thing I often find myself talking about with other organizations. You know, there's the misconception that you have to put a 100-piece orchestra on stage in order for kids to want to learn about or understand an orchestra. I vividly remember at about 7 or 8 years old, that string quartet coming to my school gym, and they played for us. And here's the thing, Jason, I don't remember a single piece of music they played. That didn't matter to me. I was fascinated by the instruments because it was so exotic to me. And that I can really circle back to. That's the spark, just seeing the instrument and knowing it was an option. And for me, that's what I like to do with APO, is my focus is creating that spark. So I had that. I had a great piano teacher growing up. And then I went to do my undergraduate at West Virginia University, which I'm a huge fan and supporter of, and my master's at Ohio University. And so a lot of my focus in my free time, which is not as much these days, but I like to focus on giving back, especially through the Appalachian region. And I, in fact, am doing some of my upcoming filmings in West Virginia very much on purpose to shine a light on the incredible things in West Virginia and the incredible artists that are living there and making art every day. So I'm a big believer in giving back every step of the way. You know, I'm 35 years old now, and I believe that we should all start at younger ages finding ways to give back. So that school gym, that string quartet inspired me to do what I'm doing. And if I can give back and provide experiences for kids in those same small schools, in those same small gyms, then you better believe I'm going to wear myself out doing it, giving everything I can, because I want them to take my job someday. I want them to create their own groups. And I know it's possible.
Awesome. Well, that's be a perfect way to sort of, you know, give it back and bring it full circle. So, awesome. Well, thanks so much for doing this. Again, it's the American Pops Orchestra. We'll link to all the stuff, you know, on the web. It's theamericanpops.org. We'll link to it on our article. And thanks so much for doing this. It's a great lineup you got coming up. And then we'll touch base again, I guess, what, next month when you know more about the Broadway thing, the country thing,
all the root stuff. And by the way, we know about it. We just can't announce it. So that's the problem right now. But you'll see it very soon. Probably in the next week, you'll see the initial press release about it. So
of course you know about it. You're probably racking your brain trying to figure out the best perfect way to roll it.
Exactly.
Well, keep up the good work, man. Nice to actually get to meet you. We'll talk soon, I'm sure.
You too, Jason. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yep. Take it easy.